Jesus is dead, right? A few days prior, Jesus was buried in a tomb and sealed with a great stone. And just to make sure nothing shady happened, Pilate sent two guards to keep watch. There's no coming back from the dead. Death smells. Something died in the hallway outside of the preschool 2 weeks ago. And let me tell you, we can't find it. That smell stuck in my nose, right? Even hours after exposure, it's bad, right? We cannot find it. We have looked upstairs, we've looked downstairs, we've looked in all the closets. Death smells. And the kind of death that Jesus experienced, it was not for the faint of heart. There was great suffering and pain, long and intentionally torturous. His disciples abandoned him. Only the women stayed from a distance. He was mocked by Roman soldiers and temple officials. He was killed between two criminals. And once it was done. This story in our faith takes a long time to soak in, which is why we spread it out over several days. It's messy and challenging, uncomfortable to hear, painful and full of grief. And I know, it's Easter, and you already know the end of the story. For alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Yes, we proclaim this loudly. And I also think it's important to name that, you know, Easter is sometimes hard to find. I don't know about you, but this year it feels more like Saturday with a closed tomb than Easter. Our world continues to be at war in many places. Our nation is fractured. There seems to be fear in the air, especially for our immigrant neighbors, our refugee neighbors, our LGBTQIA neighbors. You all are exhausted. I see you working overtime in this new era of federal workforce, or perhaps trying to find a new job mid-career. Parenting anxious teenagers and caring for aging parents. I see you hesitantly writing protest signs, flabbergasted that this is where we are, and showing up in ways you never could have imagined you would have to. We're afraid, we're depressed, we're angry, and perhaps this is right where Easter is supposed to find us. The Gospel of Matthew writes that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see that tomb on the first day of the week after the Sabbath. And interestingly, unlike the Easter story in both Luke and Mark, these women do not bring burial spices. Mary and Mary do not show up at the tomb expecting a smelly, dead body. And remember that smell? That smells bad. You want to bring something potent to cover it up. And yet Mary and Mary didn't in Matthew's story. Despite their fear, despite what they had just witnessed a few days prior, there seems to be this glimmer of hope and faith that these women know. They are experiencing something different. And Matthew's description delivers that. It's different. Resurrection is almost unimaginable, nearly indescribable, for there is a massive earthquake. The guards are so afraid, they play dead. And then this scathingly bright and very strong angel rolls away the giant stone. And this angel proclaims, as all angels do, "Do not be afraid. For I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has been raised. Come and see the place where he lay. And then go quickly and tell the others, for he has been raised from the dead and is indeed going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him." And then it's almost like Jesus can't wait. And so he meets the women halfway and says the same message. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee, for there they will see me. And Mary, listen. They leave quickly, still with fear, but great joy. For alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. It's a wild story. It's an impossible story. It's a story that's almost too good to be true, and yet Jesus lives. There's incredible new life where there should only be death. Joy and fear are wrapped up together, and Mary and Mary get to be the first apostles to tell the tale. Jesus' beautiful work of acceptance and abundance and upside-down blessedness is happening, and indeed more powerful than the Roman Empire. You cannot stop the power of love. And Mary knew it. They knew deep in their bones that the way things are is not the way things have to be. You don't need the burial spices, because love will always be stronger than evil. And I really appreciate that this does not mean the absence of fear. This does not mean the absence of grief or anxiety. The Easter story reminds us that the role of the disciple is to show up as you are in these places of death and trust that God is going to do something different. Like Mary and Mary, we are invited to be witnesses and let the magic and the impossible happen. You know, we have now officially lived in Northern Virginia 3 years. Woo! And as some of you know, we moved here from Minneapolis. So, of course, our hearts were broken over what happened there over the winter. As these ICE raids intensified and civilians were killed, these Minnesotans were not deterred. They just became more stubbornly determined to take to the streets with peaceful protests and sing. Anderson Cooper, in a CNN broadcast, interviewed one of the organizers from Hennepin United Methodist Church, who sang this song. I am not afraid, I am not afraid. I will live for liberation, 'cause I know why I was made. And they sang this over and over and over in the streets. The group that was singing it also sang it in Spanish. And they shared in this interview that song is a vehicle for us to grieve. It's a vehicle for us to feel rage, and it's a vehicle for us to strengthen ourselves. This song, I Am Not Afraid, we're not singing it because we're actually not afraid. It's terrifying what's happening. But singing is a way to gather courage. Just like Mary and Mary, these folks in these frigid temperatures consistently showed up in these places of death among fear and proclaimed, no, we want our world to be something different. In the midst of great fear and anxiety, Minnesotans showed us that there can be hope and freedom. Singing is a way to remind us of resurrection. And we do it here in church every Sunday. We sing we are forgiven. We sing we are loved. We sing that there will always be enough. Last Friday, I joined over 500 other Arlington residents at Kenmore Middle School. And there were folks there from Camp Soraka. They're one of our building partners. There were folks there from Aspire After School Program and Edo Futuro. There were folks from Voice, Virginians Organized for Interfaith Community Engagement. So there were Presbyterians and Episcopals and Unitarians. And I almost forgot the most important contingent. There were lots and lots of kids, teens and kids, and they were the ones leading this meeting. And they shared about this place of death, that 3 years ago, a student tragically died from a drug overdose at Wakefield. And the students shared that coming back from the pandemic, they were anxious and depressed, and drugs were tempting. And yet from this place of death, from this tragedy, the wider community proclaimed, This is not the way things have to be. And they began dreaming and organizing to create a more robust after-school program for our kids, especially in South Arlington. That Friday night, they showed how powerful this program had been for their students and their families. And together, they asked Arlington County Board and Arlington School Board for their continued support. It was a night of celebration and a loud proclamation of yes to one another. An Easter moment where joy meets fear head on and says, "Not today, Satan." Loneliness and drugs do not need to be the only answer for our community. There can be a different way. We do have the capacity to support one another. Leave those burial spices at home. We don't need them. Dear ones, I truly believe that these Easter moments are happening all around us. They may not make the headlines. They may seem minuscule and silly in the face of all that we are facing. And yet God's promise to us is all we have is dust and despair. That's okay. God can work with that. All we see is death. God promises that new life is getting ready to sprout up. Keep showing up and allow God to do the rest. Keep loving, keep sharing, keep those doors wide open despite the messiness. Let us not let our fears stop us from showing up. For if we do, we will miss out on the beauty all around us. And on those days when you feel anxious and you aren't sure if you even believe all of this, show up anyway. For as we pray and sing and remember, our hearts and bodies start to breathe together. Our hearts start to beat together, and we become grounded in this beautiful truth that indeed God is here in our midst, and we are loved forever. So, dear ones, on this beautiful Easter day, however you showed up today, excited and joyful and full of jelly beans, or sad and anxious and skeptical, clutching your burial spices, may you know that the angel greets you today and says, "Do not fear. This is not the end of your story. Death is never the end of our story." And may you know that as your pastor, I am holding on to Easter hope with you, that love is going to win. For today, let us sing that glorious truth, that the way things are is not the way things have to be. For alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Thanks be to God.